CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Werner and Joey Wagner live at Huntington Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. And Joey is 2-for-2 on his road trips here during the last month as Illinois pulls out another top 25 ranked win. And more importantly, after a 14-6 win at Minnesota, the over-under for the season wins cashes. So if you got over the 3.5, Illinois now improves to 4-6. And Joey, it's unbelievable. This team loses to Rutgers. They lose all these close games to Maryland and Purdue and UTSA. And then they go on the road and beat two of the best teams in the Big Ten in Penn State and Minnesota. Make this make sense, Joey.
Yeah, I can't. Also, if you're over hit, I would like to take responsibility for two of those wins. I will take portions of your winnings. But honestly, I don't know, right? Like, it's November 6th, Jeremy. I have absolutely no idea what this Illinois football team is. I think they're a team that plays really freaking hard, right? And that's going to at least buy something on the field. And I think they believe in the messages that are coming from the coaches. I think they believe in each other. But sometimes they just don't execute. I mean, I can't wrap my head around a week ago this team lost to Rutgers. And I know this isn't Rutgers of like 2 years ago. But how do you sandwich a home loss to Rutgers between two road wins over ranked teams? And I would say both of them, I know this one, we'll get into it, got a little bit shaky there at the end. But for the most part, both of them were more or less commanding, fairly dominating wins. I have no idea. I don't know this team.
Yeah, and I think you can tell we don't know this team because we are awful at picking them. You and I think are both 4-6 on the season. So I've decided. I was thinking about it last week. I'm thinking about it this week, and I'm like, I'm going full George Costanza. I'm probably thinking Iowa wins a close game when they play each other. But I'll go the opposite. I'll probably pick Illinois to win just because I have to think the opposite because what I've thought about this team hasn't worked out to this point. We're going to throw a bunch of flowers, as the kids say, at Ryan Walters, as we should, and we'll talk a little bit about how this defense has been so good. They were 5 minutes away from the first shutout for Illinois football in a Big Ten game in 20 years, the first shutout of a Big Ten game on the road in more than 50 years. So this has been an amazing defense. The turnaround is unbelievable. I do want to give credit to the offense for a great start. We've talked about the slow starts this season. A first quarter touchdown. They get a first quarter touchdown after a Tariq Barnes interception off a tip pass from Seth Coleman. Illinois marches the ball down the field. Tony Peterson had a great drive. Isaiah Williams, one of the smallest guys on the field, fights for an extra yard to get into the end zone. And then they follow that up with a great drive, one of the best drives of the season. They end up scoring in the second quarter on a great play call out of the barge. Tip Ryman on a Brandon Peters naked boot rollout. Brandon Peters finds him on a great read in the back of the end zone. It's 14-0, Joey, 15 minutes and 5 seconds in the game. You're like, where's that been all season? And then Illinois got conservative playing in front. We'll talk about that. But to get that start and make Minnesota come from behind completely changed the game.
Yeah, and imagine what that did to the defense, right? Like, you're going out there, you've got a lead already. And that was the best first quarter we've seen from Illinois all season. It's not close. There's no second place. They were just confident in what they did. And I thought Tony Peterson just drew up awesome drives. He's starting to use Michael Marquez out of that fullback slot. And it continues to work. And he just we saw a lot more Isaiah Williams wildcat, wild one formations today. And it feels like we're starting to see him more lean into the personnel in front of him. And there's still some things that were head scratching a little bit, but I can't remember a first quarter, even let's just call it 14-0 in the first, right? It was literally the first play of the second quarter. How do you get that today at Minnesota? But all these other games, it's nothing and not even close. I don't know a lot about what this is.
Yeah, and I think one big key is this quarterback's playing well. Brandon Peters' final stats didn't end up that great. 7 of 9 passing, 80 yards, a touchdown. But that's an efficiency rating of 189.1. Brandon, the first five games of the season, Joey, was around 100. I think might have been under 100, which is ridiculously low. Bad for a Big Ten quarterback. He's played fantastic the last 2 weeks. And just that little extra in the passing game has opened up some lanes for Chase Brown, especially the outside run today. Chase Brown's an all Big Ten back, 147 yards on 32 carries today. You know, in the second half, slowed down a little bit, but he got some big first downs late in the game. And Brandon Peters with the run. I mean, he had a couple of huge first down runs, including one he really got nicked up on, but he needs to learn how to slide. But you're using his legs, and I think Tony is starting to realize that gives him confidence. That gives him a little bit of, I just think, a nastiness, like a confidence that he doesn't have otherwise. And he made some big throws. The one to Marquise, I thought he was going to drop down to Luke Ford, which would have been a fine play. He gets the touchdown by going deep. And then the throw to Casey Washington, they didn't score on that drive, I don't believe, Joey, but they throw it down, one-on-one battle with Casey Washington. Brandon Peters trusted his wide receiver. He let his wide receiver go make a play. And kudos to Casey, who's made some big plays in recent weeks, made a big catch, gets him across midfield. That was a sign of growth, because I don't know if Brandon throws that ball just a couple weeks ago, but he's playing better football.
He's playing confident football, and I talked to him about this today. He's writing – no one's going to pretend this has been a perfect year, and frankly, really a perfect 2 years. 2019, in terms of Illinois quarterback, was pretty close to it. Like, just, he was good that year, especially down that stretch, but he's kind of writing how this is going to end for him as a college football player, and let's be honest, probably a football player. I would think. I mean, he's got a lot of tools. This is probably it. I think there's confidence in that, and confidence in the ability to say, he said, I don't know how many snaps of football I have left. So he's just going out there and kind of letting it rip a little bit, and you're seeing some of that four-game stretch Brandon Peters from 2019. We haven't seen two games like this out of – this is two – I can't even believe we're having this discussion. This is two games. Yeah. I don't think he hit 100 today, but no. – Again, how different does that change when he's just competent? Like, that passing attack is just competent. But we just haven't seen him put back-to-back games together like this. I guess a little bit. We almost saw it last year with Nebraska-Iowa. But since 2019, and he does. There's a lot he probably we've understood that he doesn't do verbally, that the coaches have made it a point to try to get out of him and tell us they're trying to get out of him. But when he's got that little bit of edge, the you know, pointing at the scoreboard in Lincoln or diving, I mean, Tony Peterson's got to hold his breath every time his quarterback goes head first, and your backup is now a Division II walk-on.
Hey, Ryan Johnson got a snap out of it, right? He went down, Peters went out for a play. Ryan Johnson gets a snap of experience. He handed the ball off well to Chase Brown.
He did not fumble. Wouldn't that have been just the Illinois gut punch of Illinois gut punches, right? But, yeah, when I just think there's a lot more – when Brandon's feeling it like this, that he passes on to that team, then we probably, frankly, have given him credit for. Because there have been times, like that, I go back to the 2019 dive in the bowl game, and my God, you would have think, you know, it was Michael Jordan in Space Jam stretching his arm all the way. I mean, it's just they feel it when he is that, and it's just not been consistently that.
Let's just say, it's nice to see. I mean, it's fun for us to talk to Brandon. We really enjoy talking to Brandon. But he's played poor football for most of the last 2 years, as you said. But to see him be able to come back, and we can even point to the defense. Tony Adams and Isaiah Gay played some poor football earlier this year. And to see those guys making huge plays, it's really cool to see those guys persevere in their final seasons at Illinois and try to make something of this. At 4-6 now, you at least have a chance to make a bowl game after all of this. I mean, you still got two tough Big Ten West games coming up. I will never feel comfortable for Illinois against Iowa and Northwestern just because the series are so lopsided here recently. But you've given yourself a chance, and we got to say this. Illinois has given itself a chance in all these Big Ten games outside of Wisconsin. This is six games now decided by one possession, and today was too close than it should have been in the last quarter. But you're giving yourselves opportunities to win games, and the margin, the scoring margin in the Big Ten is so close. I mean, they're losing games by one possession. They're winning games by one possession. I think that's a sign of the coaching staff that they're putting their team in position to succeed. I do want to mention this about the offense, though. after those first two great drives, three and out, three and out, three and out. And you got really conservative at times on some of those drives. Brandon didn't get the first down at one point. Brett Bielema thought about going for it at one point on fourth and one, which I was happy about, but they did line up double A gaps right there, and it didn't look like it was going to be a good play call. So they ended up winning the game, but it did get conservative down the stretch, Joey. And even when Illinois got across midfield a couple times, it felt like they were second and eight after Jakari Norwood came in for Chase Brown, which hasn't worked out very well for Illinois. And the one play call I had a problem with was the Caleb Griffin. Now, if it works, we're singing Tony Peterson's praises, but it felt a little cute at that moment when you needed yards to get James McCourt into field goal territory. Because if you have a field goal in that second half at any point, you end up, you have that game. It's done. They end up winning the game, but it felt like the offense got very, very conservative, especially in that third quarter.
Yeah, there was a couple times in that third quarter specifically where they got, it's like, I think they started at the 10 and the 9. So they're pretty backed up. And a first down run both the times, I think, was 1 yard. And then that was it. Like, it just felt like, well, first down didn't get us anywhere. It's probably time to cut our losses. You know,
it's almost like you're thinking it's going to be a quick punt. Just like, oh, this drive's over, right? Yeah. It feels like they give up on some drives.
I enjoyed the we discussed this in the second down. Kind of felt like a play action time, right? You play it, but they run it, it goes nowhere, and they punt. So we think, you know, Brandon's not making throws because we think he's really like trying to actively avoid turnover. Like, obviously everyone's actively avoiding turnovers, but like he's really thinking about not having one. That's the vibe I get when Tony Peterson's down inside the 9 and 10. Like, and it's not wrong. A turnover in that area is basically 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get the line of thinking, but you're still 3-6, not 4-16. Just gamble a little bit and try to shoot some life into it and let the defense breathe.
Yeah, I don't think you and I are asking them to just like air it out and throw caution to the wind, because how is Illinois going to win games? You keep the score low, you keep possessions low, you don't turn it over. And they haven't turned it over, right? They're really good at not turning it over. I just think with the way Brandon's played the last 2 weeks, I think Tony and Brett have had opportunities where you can trust him on a second down play action rolling out to the right, where he can make the decision whether it's to run the ball or to just check down or throw it out of bounds. I just would like to give him the opportunity. He only had 4 second half passes, so I just felt like that guy needed the ball a little bit more in these last two games. I feel like you could have trusted him to make a few more plays. Not like 5 more, but like in 2 or 3 other opportunities. Like, I just would have trusted him. So Illinois was fortunate its defense played as well as it did, because the great start was great, but the offense didn't play well the last 3 quarters. Outside of the final drive, they were able to move people. And the offensive line, I thought, played great today, both in pass protection and running the football. So I just thought they played conservatively. It ended up working for them. But they're also a little bit fortunate that the defense played as well as it did, Joey, and had so many fourth down stops in Minnesota territory, because Illinois should have scored more than 14 points in this game.
Yeah, that defense really deserved to have a little bit of like a drive where it didn't feel like the weight of the earth was on their shoulders. And they delivered. Yeah, I am curious. I'm eager to talk with Tony Peterson next week just to try to understand a little more philosophically about what, you know, he approaches in some of these situations. But who would have thought the Illinois defense is like this unit that is the most trustworthy thing on the field? I mean, for 5 years, it was so astoundingly the opposite that it was hard to watch. And now this team is... the stat's probably a little heavier. I think it's 5 games of fewer than 24 points for opponents. They didn't play very well against Rutgers, right? But they are giving this offense a chance. And then today, they almost had a shutout on the road against a ranked team. And they just thoroughly dominated Minnesota. I mean, up for 6 sacks. That they didn't have a sack for 2 straight games. Just an absolutely dominant performance. Ryan Walters, man, he's really building a resume. Like, he had a good resume coming in. And it's just, I still can't understand why people were eager to push him out of Mizzou. Like, I don't know why fans were like, I'll catch you later. Because he looked like a really stinking good defensive coordinator who's going to be a head coach before long.
Illinois is allowing 17.6 points per game during Big Ten play. I mean, think about the years, Joey. They're allowing 30, 35, 38 points. Like, some years during the Lovie Smith era, they were giving up 30-plus points per game. You didn't even have a chance, right? They are allowing just 17.6 points per game right now. Today, they get two takeaways. The one late, the Kirby Joseph, Tanner Morgan just throwing it downfield. But you win the turnover battle today. And you stopped. This is what's amazing to me. A defense that had been gashed by the run for so many years allowed 89 rushing yards to a team that had 626 in the two games prior, the number two rushing offense in the Big Ten. That huge offensive line, Keith Randolph was fantastic, Johnny Newton was fantastic, Rod Perry was fantastic, and Isaiah Gay and Owen Carney getting after the quarterback were great. And then the back end, Kirby Joseph just covers up so much space back there that allows Sidney Brown to be this unique weapon. And P.J. Fleck, after the game, compared him to Troy Polamalu with how they use him to, like, be versatile. And he's such a key piece. I want to ask Ryan Walters about him this week because they move Sidney Brown around so much. He's kind of toying with the quarterback. The quarterback's trying to read him. And they're disguising things. And it confuses even a senior quarterback like Tanner Morgan. And then Sidney's just making a bunch of plays up there. And I thought Devin Witherspoon and Tony Adams, despite a couple pass interference calls, like, they played really, really well today. Minnesota's receivers, who aren't that great, they were able to shut them down for the most part until the end of the game. The game plan's fantastic. Six sacks today. The execution is fantastic. And I asked today, and that's what my story is going to focus on, is what makes Ryan Walters so good? And they talked about, one, Tony Adams said he's a genius schematically, which they've made adjustments personnel-wise and schematically that have worked since Virginia. But also, he's just given them a lot of confidence. He wrote the pull the trigger story. Like, he wants them to be prepared, but then once you're in the game, make the play. Go make the play. Trust yourself after all your preparation to go make the play. These guys are doing that. The physical maturation, obviously, is there, Joey, as well. But the confidence is through the roof. And he's putting him in positions to succeed with this three-man front you're now seeing. It's a 3-3-5 defense, basically. And he's just pushed all the right buttons. And I know people will talk about head coaching job or somebody's going to hire him. That's a great problem to have if you have a coordinator that is showing like that. Because what he has done this year to transform this defense, not only season to season, but in season, since Virginia, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, you look at, like, the body of work of the season, these stats aren't going to knock you over, right? Like, it was really ugly for the first, was that three games, right? Virginia was the third game. I guess, save for Nebraska, it was good against them, but Maryland, Virginia, there was some stinkers in there, UTSA. But Sidney Brown, I want to touch on him because Ryan does talk about pulling the trigger, right? And it's just basically read what you've seen all week, how you prepared for this, and go. And he wants him to make a play, but he's also not screaming. I mean, he's probably angry. But, like, mistakes are part of this if you're going to play that confidently. And he understands it. It doesn't feel like some sort of just massive punishment. He encourages, hey, go out there. If you mess up, we'll figure out why, but explain how you did it. And I imagine being 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old and understanding, like, hey, messing up, we're not going to celebrate it. But it's not going to be this crazy thing. And then you have someone like Sidney Brown, who Ryan Walters actually said he had to kind of dial back a little bit in the spring. Sidney is, he can play with his hair on fire sometimes out there. Sometimes it's really, really good, like it was today.
I love that his hair's out. That's all I care.
Yeah, incredible. I would like to see Chase Brown follow suit. I understand as a running back, you're really risking some pain there. But there had been times, Jeremy, in the past where Sidney played with his hair on fire, and it was a problem. Yeah. He was just... So I think Ryan Walters, how he found that balance with Sidney has just been so impressive. And a lot of the disguises they do, kind of almost all of them hinge on him specifically. I mean, he is like running 20-yard dashes up to the front back. I mean, there's times that his back is turned to the line of scrimmage as he's just running around like crazy back there. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me give you the Fleck quote. They were doing some really good things. You have to give them a lot of credit. He's talking about the Illinois defense. They were doing a lot of good things with number 30, Sidney Brown. He's everywhere. He'd be at the line of scrimmage, kind of like Troy Polamalu used to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then he'd run out to cover two. You have to be able to see it. You have to be able to have confidence to do that. And I think it just messes with quarterbacks. Like, these are things we didn't see in Lovie Smith's defense. And I always said, like, when offense coordinators know what's going to happen, what you're lined up in, and quarterbacks, teenage, 20, 22-year-old quarterbacks know what you're running, it just makes things so much easier for them. Ryan Walters is not making things easy for them. And then Illinois got some pretty good players thanks to Lovie Smith. There's some good talent, but Ryan Walters is putting them in positions to succeed, to stop these teams, and week to week, right? Week to week, good game plans against pretty good teams.
We do have to be honest. Like, in those early parts of the season, we wondered if there was enough talent on this defense to do anything. And we said at times there wasn't. So, I mean, we've got to own that. That was not the right read. What we're seeing is the distribution of that talent in the right ways, right? And it took a little bit for Ryan Walters to get it all put together and his coaching staff. And obviously, it just wasn't the case last year or for 5 years before that. So, I mean, we've got to own up. Like, we said there's not enough talent on this defense, and that's just not the case. But I just think what he's done to maximize what they have has been easily the most impressive part to me. This is, Jeremy, we talked about this, the literal same exact defense as it was a year ago. Prather Hudson, I thought he had some nice blitzes today.
That's your dime guy, though. Like that's your dime. He plays like three or four snaps a game.
Exactly. So it's the same defense minus Nate Hobbs, minus Jake Hansen, right? Because Jake Hansen's out for the season. And now C.J. Hart looked like a guy who could be really good, but we haven't seen him since Nebraska. So think about this turnaround and being able to push the right buttons and understand where things were, disguises, all of that, with the same team as last year that was a miserable defense.
We said before the year, we're going to find out how much coaching matters, okay, right? Offensively, I still think we got a lot to learn, right, because there's not been improvement from that side of the ball.
Regression. In
certain ways, right? There's definitely regression. And I think there's, you know, some of the raw numbers, especially points per game, you do have to think less possessions. They're playing a different kind of defensive football too. But, yes, they have not taken steps forward on offense. Outside of Chase Brown, right, in the running game have been better. But the passing game has not gotten better. Defensively, we're seeing how much coaching matters and how much scheming and all these different things. Like, everything we've been asking for, like, that Lovie Smith did not give, all those years we're sitting there going, three-man fronts work, be more dynamic, be more versatile, and, you know, like, press cover, like all these different things that we wanted to see disguising, you're seeing that. And it is working, and he is just pushing the right buttons. And again, he's just putting them in positions to succeed, which is what a coach is supposed to do and what good coaching is. And you got to give credit to Brett Bielema, too, for having his team in these games, and more from the CEO perspective, Joey, having them believing. I mean, at 2-5 going to the bye week, no one, or the off week, thank you, Bob Osmussen, no one thought this team would have a chance against Penn State. Now, Minnesota, maybe you thought they'd have a chance, but not 2 weeks after you lose to Rutgers. And then you come in here and they're a top 20 ranked team and atop the Big Ten West. You come in here and win after you lose to Rutgers. So, yeah, it's weird. It's a roller coaster. But these guys still believe in, as you said, they're confident and they're playing pretty disciplined football. There was a lot of penalties today. But they're playing sound football, and they're in all these games. And people gave us crap for the last podcast. We said, they're close. They're close in all these games. They are. And you're seeing it go the other way with Minnesota, Nebraska, Penn State, where you're seeing them fail to execute, fail to close. And today you came close to failing to close again. But you're finding ways to win those games. It's just the consistency is what they got to hammer out.
Yeah, look. I get it. I get why this is frustrating if you're a fan. Watching it at times, I don't really care who wins these football games. I mean, you care for a good story, right? But I'm frustrated at times. I'm like, I'm frustrated because I don't know what this team is still. But I mean, I get why you're a fan. If you're a fan and you're watching, you see how close you are. But can I just rewind you 2 years? 2019 might not be best. Like, go back to the 2020, 2018 season. It just wasn't this. This isn't like a back way to pile on Lovie. We've criticized Lovie for reasons that are fair. It's just the honest truth. They were not in a lot of football games, and now they are. So with that is going to come more frustration and more scrutiny over why did you punt, why didn't you run. Like, that's all part of this. It's also part of having a program that might be figuring it out, or at least has a plan to figure it out. And that's what you're starting to see come together. And there's bumps in it. There's always going to be bumps in it. I just didn't think like some of the bumps have been like that Rutgers loss was just really rough. But I didn't think there was going to be this early winning on the road at Penn State or winning on the road at Minnesota. And to be fair, Penn State and Minnesota had a lot to do with that. They played stinky games in those two games.
Stinky poo-poo.
Poo-poo stinky. Poo-poo stinky. Come on now. This is the motto of our place here.
But like that's part of what Brett Bielema has talked about. You got to learn how to not lose games. And they've found a way to do that. Now, they made it maybe a little closer than they needed to in some of those games. And if offensively you execute a little bit more, you would have won by two scores at Penn State or won by two scores here today. But you're still, like, you can see, Joey, the eye test. This is a far better football team. It's a far better coached football team. And that's credit to Brett Bielema and his guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not, you know, I don't want it to sound like we're trying to say, hey, all is well, it ends well, they're 4-6. That's not the case. There's reasons, all the reasons for frustration that we've seen, that we experience in conversations with people make sense. Fair, I get it.
Sorry to interrupt, but like, these wins make the agonizing losses more agonizing because you think, what if you find a way to score another point or a couple points at Penn State or you find a way to close them into Maryland? You're talking about a team, Joey, that's in the race with Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin atop the Big Ten West. Like, there are a bunch of missed opportunities this year, but there's also, like, would this team have made the strides they needed to? I don't know if they win these games if they don't lose those games early on, right? Like, I don't know. It's a different universe, but it does make those losses more agonizing because you did miss opportunities. You missed opportunities this year to really take a step forward, but you also have an opportunity now after some of these wins to continue to take a step forward and maybe shock some people down the stretch and with a couple games remaining.
You build momentum, right? You build some momentum on the recruiting trail. I think Illinois, last bye week, they had a gross loss to Wisconsin they took with them on the recruiting trail. They had some other stuff, and I understand there were points of growth to say to recruits. Yeah, I get all that. Now you're taking a win at Minnesota. And Brett Bielema said, was Minnesota ranked? He asked that in the press conference. One, I'm sure Brett Bielema knew about it. I would be floored if he didn't. And number two, he's sure going to know about whatever plane he's on going to whatever recruiting place next week, because that is going to be a point of discussion, I have to imagine. But also, beyond high school and this momentum, you're starting to show skeletons of opportunity in the transfer portal, where if you're a quarterback, per se, and you have questions, you can show the base and ideas and understandings of what this wants to be. And all of that, again, the process is sports, and the process is always, you know, the results are driven by the process. And maybe you weren't getting those results early, but you have these skeletons of the process to show to people. And that can be a recruiting. Now, is it going to work? I have no freaking idea.
Yeah.
But at least you have that when you go in the portal and the portal is filling up. You have that to say, hey, this is what we were trying to do here. Here's what you can see where we were. Here's how you would fit in and help us get that. And that's really important when there is going to be roster turnover. But to maximize who's coming in, that stuff's really important. And that's what's so important about these last two more games now.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to see, as you said, that quarterback, these little glimpses, and like, hey, you can show them, if you made this throw, we think you can make this throw, we'd have won this game, or things like that. Offensive line, you got a lot to sell without the way some of these guys are playing right now, especially Doug Kramer, I thought had a great game. I thought Jack Badovinak had a fantastic first couple of series there, and Vidarian Lowe is playing himself in the NFL draft conversation. And then I think about defensively, you lose a lot, right? You lose Owen Carney, who's playing at an all Big Ten. He's playing way better than last year, in my opinion. He's got 6.5 sacks now on the season. Isaiah Gay is playing his best football. I think Rod Perry is kind of an unsung hero back there. Or Kirby Joseph and Sidney Brown and Tony Adams and Devin Witt, they're all playing really good football. You can show that to outside linebackers and defensive linemen because you need some for next year. It gives them a lot more to sell there. So
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, Joey. They get an off week after this game. They do get to sell it on the recruiting trail. Chase Brown can take a rest after 32 carries today. What do you think is important for the Illini going into Iowa, where if Iowa wins tonight against Northwestern, I believe it is. Yeah, Iowa against Northwestern at Northwestern. If they win that, that's another top 25 opponent on the road. Look out, because Illinois is dangerous in those situations.
And don't forget, there's still a lot in front of you. Think about where this team was, Jeremy, after the Wisconsin game. They had just been trucked at home and a final score that should have been considerably worse than what it was.
Reminded you of a lot of those early Lovie Smith losses, right?
Yes, and we talked about it. We wondered, like, where are they going from here? They're 7 games in. This has not gone anywhere close to where these super seniors thought this was going to be. I felt bad for them. Man, you guys came back and you just got trucked at home on homecoming, and it's just going to be tough mutton moving forward. And it's just so different now, right? It's just, at that point, I would have never told you there's going to be a lot in front of you at this point on November 6th, but there is. So don't forget how you got here and who you are, but also understand, like, it's so cliche, and I'm sure Brett Bielema told him on the locker room, he'll tell him on the plane, there's so much more still. Even, I mean, 4 wins, let's first pause. 4 wins in Brett Bielema's first year, all right, I mean, okay, but 5? 6?
I think a lot of us would, like I said before the season, I think 5 would be a pretty good measure for the team in the first year. 6 would be an unbelievable success, and those are both right in front of you.
Yeah, and really not all impossible to imagine it getting there. Iowa's going to be tough. That defense is no joke, but your defense isn't really either right now. And so I can't believe that this is a discussion, but here it is. And there's so much that almost like, you get rid of the bye week? Like, you're kind of, I know Chase Brown would scream at me probably for saying that. But they're kind of hot right now. And I know last week happened, but this is kind of a hot football team. Strangely, in a very weird and hard to explain way.
Yeah, I don't know if like a lot has changed, except a little bit of the passing attack, because there's a little bit more passing. You're still not good at it. But your defense is just playing lights out. I mean, I think there's some Rutgers drives that Illinois wants back, and they really struggled on the edge there, but that's not what Iowa's going to bring you, right? Like, Iowa's more what Minnesota runs. It's more what Penn State runs. So I think there will be some opportunities. We do have to mention, not a lot of people like P.J. Fleck. P.J. did like playing against Lovie Smith. I believe he was 4-1 against Lovie Smith as a college head coach. Illinois players, swagger out there, rowing the boat. We saw the defensive line do it. Owen Carney, Johnny Newton, I think Keith Randolph was involved. And then was that Blake Hayes with some taunting there late with what a great punt by punt god Blake Hayes to nail them at the 2-yard line. Fantastic day for him as well. But yeah, Blake Hayes getting after it. And Tony Adams had a heck of a reaction when you brought it up, Joey.
You find me a punter with more swagger than Blake Hayes, and I'll find you a liar. There's just not one. Like, this guy, when he comes out on the field at Memorial Stadium with the captains, it's just 3 of them. He's pumping every. I mean, yep. There's just nobody with more swagger than this dude out there. He's enjoying all of this. So, you know, after the interviews, we're talking. I said, Tony, you know, you see, I said, Blake's got a lot of swagger, huh? And he's like, come on, you know that. And I'm like, yeah, but the row the boat thing is what? So I showed him, and he was floored. He very much enjoyed seeing his punter row the boat and then snap the oar over his leg as he peered into PJ Fleck's soul, it appeared, from the video that we saw. How many punters, man? Good for Blake Hayes. Enjoy all of this. He is a legend at this school. A punter, right? But, like, he's one of the two best. It's a two-person conversation, I think. I hope I don't sound like a fool for saying that. Good for him, man. Enjoy all of this. You're never coming to Minnesota again as a college football player. You'll probably be here in the NFL. Have fun, man. Talk your trash. You just won the game with your left foot. Yeah. Or you sealed the game, I should say. And good for him, man. Talk your smack, Blake.
No, I like it. It's harmless. And if you're going to have that kind of mantra, people are going to throw it back in your face when it doesn't work, right? PJ's done a really good job at Minnesota, but I'm sure a lot of Illini fans love seeing that in a victory today. Just a few more things I want to get out there, Joey. including a bowl, which they could get with two straight wins, which I think we both know is going to be very difficult, but it's not out of the conversation, right? So it's still alive. You still have the chance to finish over 500 in Big Ten play. That hasn't happened since 2007. That's another thing Brett Bielema has in front of him, his team has in front of him. Of course, they're going to take it the one game at a time mantra, but I'm just saying. And the other thing Brett Bielema has going for him, I couldn't believe this when I looked it up, Joey. That is a second straight road victory over a ranked opponent, right, for Illinois. He has two of them in his first season. The four previous Illinois head coaches combined over 15 seasons. That's Zook, that's Beckman, that's Cubitt, that's Lovie Smith. They had one combined, Ohio State 2007. That's a pretty good start for Brett Bielema, right? Like, it just shows that, you know, he can put his team in positions to win, and it's not just schematically. He gets his guys ready to play on the road, which is difficult. It's difficult to play in places like this, and Penn State especially.
I'm still trying to figure out how we're having these discussions. Like, seriously, I know we've talked a lot about that. I just wouldn't have believed you 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Last week,
yeah.
We both picked Illinois to lose. We all picked Illinois to lose on Illini Inquirer because Minnesota's playing well, and can Illinois score more than 13 points? Well, they did today, but can they score 20 points? No, they didn't need to because the defense is so good.
Yeah, I still think this coaching staff gets a lot of credit for keeping this thing so tightly bound because, man, the bye week, that first bye week, could not – I mean, that to me, that's not a very good time to have that after that loss. And then you got a week to just think about what this has been. And to keep this all put together and to come out this way, I cannot believe we're having these conversations about this Illinois football team right now. And we knew this coaching staff was good, right, when they hired him, but we're really starting to see, and I get it. I know somebody is going to comment and say, well, what about Peterson? Fine. Like this.
The guy speaks exactly like that, too. What about Peterson? But like we knew, I think when Peterson was hired, we were like, oh, that's interesting. But when they started hiring the defensive staff, I think we all went, that's a dang good staff on paper. Like when you get Kevin Kane to go from SMU to be an outside linebackers coach, Ryan Walters is a sitting DC at a SEC program, and to Andy Boo, who'd been a coordinator at four FBS schools, like Aaron Henry, who's been in a lot of Power Five programs, like Illinois hasn't hired those kind of guys. Like Kevin Kane would have been a home run DC for some previous staffs, and he was a position coach. So I think defensively we felt pretty confident, and it's shown itself, and it's amazing. UTSA, Virginia, you're thinking of those games. Oh no, like this looks familiar in a bad way. The last, you know, 6 weeks of football for the defense has been unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. I would love, when Brett Bielema got hired, I thought, I don't know what Big Ten coaches are thinking, right? Like, because Brett's had success, and they probably were like, crap. You know, Illinois might, you know, it might be something at some point. I would love to just send out an email to every Big Ten coach and be like, you don't have to put your name, but can you just tell me right now what you think? Because, this is all, next 2 weeks in Iowa, I'm like, oh, that was a disappointing thing. But there is a little bit of like, hey, that team, we're not going to walk over them anymore. And I think that as you start to look at like the steps you have to take to build, not getting walked over is a pretty big first step.
You know, going into a game against Illinois, you're going to go against a physical team and you're going to have to battle to win, right? And I think maybe Penn State, Minnesota didn't think that. And I think maybe Illinois caught them by surprise a little bit, given the games they'd lost before those teams, right? So Illinois has spoiled two seasons now, potentially. I mean, Minnesota's still got a chance to win the Big Ten West if they take care of business against Iowa and Wisconsin. But, like, they've spoiled those teams, like, easy kind of path to what they wanted to get to. And I just think Brett Bielema is a college coach. He knows how to do it at the college level. He knows how to do it in the Big Ten. He knows how to do it in the Midwest. Like, we've seen it in recruiting, Joey. We can see it day to day with putting a staff together, being the spokesman. Like, he's just putting Illinois in a better position to compete in the Big Ten. The wins haven't all come, but you've seen enough of them. You've seen enough week-to-week competitiveness. They feel like you're going to be in a chance. You got a chance every time you take the field.
I saw somebody call Brett Bielema like an agent of chaos in the Big Ten because he has just completely turned this freaking thing upside down.
Professor Chaos.
Paul Christ might want to start like building a thank you package to send to Brett Bielema because Brett Bielema may have helped Wisconsin win the West.
Well, and Wisconsin's playing really dang good football too. Purdue, let's talk about teams that you can't figure out. We're recording this, and Purdue's up 21-7, or 21-14, excuse me, at number three, Michigan State. Like, I went into that, like, why is Purdue only, like, why are they 3-point underdogs? Shouldn't they be like 10-point underdogs? And Purdue, I can't figure them out. It's pretty amazing in the Big Ten. But Wisconsin, I like them right now. 31-3 up on Rutgers at halftime. Like, they're playing really well. But, yes, Illinois is giving them an easier chance to win the Big Ten West Championship.
Yeah, real quick, I know we're about to wrap up. Illinois, SID Brett Moore, he runs the stat page, does a really good job with it. And this is really pretty surprising. Today was Owen Carney's 16th sack. He's in the top 10 in Illinois history. He was not very productive his first few years. Like, this dude has put it all together, and he's really a heck of an outside linebacker. He might play himself in the league.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I didn't know if he was an NFL draft prospect. He came back in part due to Brett Bielema, especially his past at that position specifically. You know, getting guys ready for the NFL and coaching that with both the Giants and the Patriots. So I think he's playing his best football. And, yeah, now he's up there with guys like DeJuan Smoot, who's in the league and is a productive player, right? Like, you're starting to put yourself in those conversations. I think he's been really, really good. And I think Sidney Brown has been really, really good. Devin Witherspoon, Kirby Joseph. Like, you start to see that those guys get confident and week-to-week play that well. You're going to put yourself in the conversation of making the NFL.
Good for him. I mean, he really – but and also, let's be fair, like, the outside linebackers last week left a lot to be desired. So, again, what are we watching? Who are they? I have no idea.
Well, they made it interesting. That is for sure. A second road trip where we cover a big win for Illinois and Brett Bielema. We'll see if they can do it again in a couple weeks at Iowa. We got a bunch of basketball games before that, so we'll cover that over the off week. And, of course, recruiting is going to ramp up here as the coaching staff hits the trail once again and as the transfer portal really starts to fill up as well. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. I know it was a great Saturday for all of you. Enjoy the rest of it. It was a beautiful day up here in Minneapolis. Joey Wagner and I are going to get writing, and we'll have plenty of content up for you on the site, so check it all out. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, a rating, review, wherever you get your podcast. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.